It's a very poor country. The leaf mine looks like a piece of cloth. And you put it in your pocket, thinking a person seeing a piece of cloth. It's a value to the person. It'll make a good patch for a worn-out piece of clothing. And the person brushes, just happens to touch his pocket. It explodes and maims him. My conclusion was that already in 1965, the main purpose of the bombing was to destroy the civilian economy, to break the morale of the people. When this failed, then the bombing became more intense, and the escalation widened, and the targets extended beyond just the people themselves. The people were able to resist. They dug tens of thousands of miles of shelters, and then they began to systematically destroy the industry. They said the U.S. said it was bombing only roads. Well, what does it mean if you bomb all the roads of a country? How do people exchange goods? How do they carry on any possible normal economic life? That was the main reason. The main traffic on roads is the normal commerce of a country, the normal economic life. Some areas grow rice, some areas produce other products. There has to be an exchange of products to carry on the economy. Well, the Vietnamese won this battle and decentralized their whole economy, and despite all the efforts, there was never any starvation. Despite all the bombing, there was never any starvation. But a lot of people were killed. During my second visit, I noticed a large number of graveyards that I certainly had not seen before. According to the Vietnamese, the statistics, which I don't have before me, but roughly speaking, two-thirds of the victims of U.S. bombing were women and children, non-combatant women and children. Some young women could be classified as combatants engaged in combatant activities. Two-thirds of the victims of the U.S. bombing were non-combatants, women and children.
You're listening to the Winter Soldier investigation over WBAI in New York City.
And then that doesn't count non-combatant men and boys, young men. In brief, that's Vietnam. I have a few pictures to, at the end, but I want to say a few words about Laos, since very few Americans have ever had the opportunity to get into the liberated zone of Laos. In Laos, basically, the United States is carrying on the same program it carried, it carried out in North Vietnam, that is systematic bombing of everything. I was in Sam Noia, the chief city of the liberated zone. I'll show you pictures of that city. Not a soul lives in that city anymore. The destruction was greater. The town was not completely level, but every single building had been hit. Every village in the surrounding area was destroyed. I had not seen such destruction on that's comparable a scale in North Vietnam. Actually, there had been greater destruction because North Vietnam had been more populous, is a more populous area. But for a given region to just completely destroy a city, that was the aim of the U.S. bombing. The ultimate strategy was to depopulate the liberated zone, to take the people away from the revolutionaries. But it has not completely succeeded, although according to the statistics of Senator Kennedy's refugee subcommittee, approximately a third of the people of Laos have become refugees, because mainly because of U.S. bombing. A few more brief remarks about what the U.S. is doing in Laos. Another way they depopulate is by sending in CIA teams, sabotage teams that try to force the people out at the point of a gun. They have little villages in Laos. Sometimes it's only 50 people live in a single village. Teams of mercenaries run by the CIA are brought into this town and tried to force all the men to leave, to go into the Vientiane zone. To conclude, in Vietnam, the bombing is beginning again. Don't believe Nixon. He's not just bombing military targets. He's bombing the people. In Laos, the bombing is continuing. According to the most recent press reports, the bombing has been heavier than at any time previous in the whole history of the war in Indochina, in Laos and Cambodia together. That means that has been done since October, the end of the rainy season. This is going on to this day, and we'll go on until we and the Vietnamese and the Laotians and Cambodians together stop Nixon.
All right, if you get the lights, we'll see the slides, and then we'll open it up for questioning because we are running out of time.
This is the city of Sam Noia. From the distance, it looks like a very beautiful pastoral landscape, and it's impossible to see that the every building has been hit by a bomb. I thought the screen was going to be about four times the size it is. So, but that's what it appears to be from a distance. You can't tell. So now, close-ups. You can see the windows have been blown out. There was just one man I saw walking through the town, except for the people in our party. Every single building, the church, everything had been hit. These are, again, Sam Noia, still Sam Noia. You can go on. I could have gone down every street, and then you would see that every building is gone. And here is how some of the people managed to survive. This is a mountainside. And inside this mountain is a cave, and people live in there. And what this particular cave, caves are used only for very, very important institutions. This cave happens to hold a school of art. This I just added to show for the press who's concerned about American pilots. There's an American plane downed in Laos. It was ground, the pilot was ground into cinders by the crash. So there was no possibility of getting his name. The Laotian had no possibility of identifying him. Those, again, are the same weapons you've seen before. Pass on. This is a particularly vicious weapon. That's a ballpoint pen. Next to it are these little arrows called flechettes, which are used as anti-personnel weapons against the populace, were used against the populace in North Vietnam. This is just one example of what it's like to live in a pacified or quasi-pacified area of South Vietnam. That is to say that until it's pacified, this is what happens. This girl was living in a liberated village. I asked her, she's now in the north for treatment, one eye is still completely closed. She's regained this partial sight in one eye. The surgeons feel that she'll regain partial sight in both eyes when they finish about a half dozen operations. That was a napalm. This is a Roman Catholic church in North Vietnam. As I said, I was never part of a war crimes tribunal, and the Vietnamese made no effort to emphasize how many churches were destroyed. I was examining the photographs of a recent visitor to North Vietnam, and I saw, I think, at least a dozen pictures of at least a dozen churches destroyed. That's the rail lines. Despite the efforts to destroy the railroads, and you see the destroyed rail cars still there, the traffic goes on. This is a hospital, but I should say it was a hospital. There's nothing left of it. It is in the city of Vien. Near where I stayed. It's about halfway between Hanoi and the 17th parallel. And it was near a small hotel that had just been built, because it was, Vien is near Ho Chi Minh's birthplace and they have a number of visitors. And I looked around and I asked the interpreter, where is the center of the city? And he says, you're there. And it was almost bare fields wherever I looked. The city of Vien was about 99% destroyed by the U.S. bombs. That's another view of the hospital, just to show you that everything had been destroyed.
Have the lights, please. All right, how much time do we have left now? We only have 5 minutes for questioning. If you come up, state your name and the organization that you're with, if you're a newspaper people or representing someone else, if you want to ask any questions. Where's the microphone that people are going to ask questions use so that I can recognize people? Do we have such a microphone? Or do we just call on? All right, the lady over there by the lights.
Well, for the automated battlefield, first of all, I think that I can go through a whole long list of them, but to begin with, the generals who are guilty of war crimes aren't just the generals in the Pentagon, but are the, like General Dynamics, which makes the ANSS weed and squealer intrusion detector that changes frequently as a person approaches it, makes the ANPPS portable combat surveillance radar, makes the grasshopper anti-intrusion mine that I mentioned. General Motors has been a manufacturer of the M16 rifle, which isn't tied into the automated battlefield, but again is another weapon which has an anti-personnel effect, in that recently there have been reports about the dum-dum effect that the M16 has, and now of course they're working on an improved version, the SPU, special purpose individual weapon, which is going to be the M19, and even this is a tiny flechette that has a plastic casing on it that drops off, and that the little needle enters a person and spins around inside and makes a huge hole inside, even though just a needle penetrates on the outside, and if it just hits their arm, it'll kill a person. But then let's see, well, General Electric makes these gunships we were talking about, the AC-47, the various miniguns and so forth that work on it. Let's see, some of the automated battlefield contractors are Westinghouse Electric, Western Electric, Texas Instruments, Berry Rand, Raytheon, Radio Corporation of America, Radiation Incorporated, Magnavox, Kaiser Industries, IBM, Hughes Aircraft, Honeywell, Hazelton Corporation, General Telephone and Electronics, Sylvania Electric, General Avionics, and so forth. One thing that, to answer that more specific, if people in any community that any of you are in would like to know what production of weapons like this and other weapons for Vietnam and parts of the automated battlefield and so forth, what's going on in your community, if you write to us at NARMIC, we have quite a bit of detailed sources from the industries involved in war production that state very explicitly all the contracts that are awarded for any county in the country for each quarter of the year. And also we have a book, Weapons for Counterinsurgency, that just goes into some of the weapons we showed pictures of here, and the chemical and biological weapons, anti-incendiaries like napalm, and talks about who the contractors are and how to organize a project against one of the corporations producing these. Except that this is rather outdated as far as the explicit contracts. The general background's still the same, but you should write to NARMIC if you want to actually organize a project. And also, if anybody here, if any of the, we're going to write a new updated book on this and on the automated battlefield, and if any of you vets have had experience in using intrusion detection things or seeing firsthand uses of these anti-personnel weapons, I'd appreciate very much if you'd let me or Vince Pinto of our staff interview you for this book we'll be coming up
with. Okay, Art. We have time for just one more question. I'm getting signals from all over the place. Fellow there with the checkered shirt. Could you speak up, please?
I'm sorry. The statistics have not been made public to foreigners as to the number of deaths in North Vietnam by U.S. bombs. All I can say is that the North Vietnamese insist that the overwhelming majority, as I said in my original presentation, of persons killed were women and children. Two-thirds were women and non-combatant women and children, but they have not given any precise statistics except to the people of Vietnam itself. That is, each locality has been informed of the number of deaths in their area. And these have not been published because it would give the CIA information that it does not, it should not have.
All right, we're going to have to conclude with that. The 3rd Marine Division will testify next, and if you'll keep that area down here by the door fairly clear, we can all get out and get in quick. Thank you very, very much.